Thanks for tuning in to the 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. The Illinois House is back in session this morning after a month off. Illinois Public Radio State House Bureau Chief Amanda Vinicky joins us now for the Capitol for a quick preview of what's on the docket this week. Amanda, thanks for being here.
But of course.
Now, we're in our 10th month without a budget, so I think the big question is, what's going to be taken up this week?
Well, really not a lot when it comes to the budget. This is committee deadline week, which in State House parlance basically means hurry it on up and everything and anything under the sun will be put before legislators in these various committees that they have to see if it has a future, if it will advance. That doesn't mean, however, that any big budget bills or a tax hike or any of that needs to go this week. Their legislators can bypass the standard rules when and if they get an agreement for the budget. This is more for any of the various pieces of legislation, like the DREAM Act students that you just heard from, or any various lobbying entities, what they want to get through before the regular adjournment at the end of May.
So this week is committee week. The deadline is Friday. What kind of things are you paying attention to that committees may be considering?
Oh my gosh, it runs the gamut. There's no way to
okay, start with
get
the most exciting one.
It goes from everything for midwives and whether that would be legalized right now, the labeling of medical marijuana, the number of crew members that you need to have on a freight train. There is a whole bunch of legislation on both sides of the gun debate, be it a measure that would require gun dealers to be licensed or one that would allow minors to get a fire owner's identification card. Really, if you can think of a topic, chances are that there's going to be a piece of legislation on it. I'm following one, did a story previously on the regulation of what's called neonicotines, which is basically neonicotinoids, pardon me, which are these substances that are harmful to butterflies and bees, it is believed, in a fight between the environmentalists and the Farm Bureau.
I thought it was
going to
be something about vaping, so I was completely wrong when you said that. And so, Amanda, when you said that there's nothing on the budget on the docket, does that mean, would this be, given the unprecedented budget impasse situation we're in, would this be a week where we would see any potential solutions? Or do you get the sense from the Capitol that everybody is acting as if the budget impasse isn't happening?
Well, oh, no. Everybody is very well aware that there is a budget impasse, and that is in part why you may not see all of these measures really bubble up to the top, just that it is so the budget has sucked up all of the air out of the Capitol rooms and really throughout so much of the state. And a lot of regulation measures, et cetera, do cost money. And of course, Illinois doesn't have a lot of that right now. So it's not ignoring that it exists, but as clearly there has been this impasse for 10 months, there just doesn't seem to be any movement from either side, any give. And so that's where you're not seeing that, I think, change at all this week. We just haven't seen even, a leaders meeting between the governor and the legislative leaders that you would think could at some point bring about a resolution. So a lot of budget talk, but not a lot of budget action this week.
That's Illinois Public Radio State House Bureau Chief Amanda Vinicky. I want to bring someone else into this conversation, Associated Press reporter Sarah Burnett. She's joining us to talk about voter issues, but I wanted to bring her into this conversation as well. Sarah, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Wonder, as you're listening to Amanda talk about what's going on, you're always keeping an eye on what's happening in Springfield this week. As Amanda mentioned a couple things, anything in particular that rises at the top you think our audience should be paying attention to this week?
I'll go back to what Amanda said, which is that the budget is on everyone's minds, but getting little action. And so, obviously, that's there. They're looking at that. There's been a fair amount of talk about this fantasy sports regulation, which certainly is not the kind of thing that, people necessarily are looking at in terms of
and what is that fantasy
universities opening
right.
and things like that. Well, it just has to do with this ongoing debate about these daily fantasy sports sites, and there's a couple of lawmakers who are trying to work out some compromise on that. I mean, it's one of those things that is, perhaps important to people who like to bet money online on things. you know, but again, an example of the kind of thing that we might see moving along where everyone is just waiting.
Well, Amanda, you know, Sarah, one last question on this issue for both of you, which is, as this is the budget impasse is the elephant in the room. As you said, Amanda, it kind of has sucked the air out of everything. Does that mean that it also has sucked the air out of a lot of what we will see as we were, you know, we were talking about the undocumented students who are pushing for this access bill to allow to get a chance to have financial aid, to apply for financial aid? Does that mean the likelihood of anything happening this week is lower because of the context of the budget situation? Amanda, let's start with you.
It doesn't necessarily mean that nothing is going to happen this week. There are plenty of constituencies that are going to want action. Of course, these legislators do have a general election ahead. They want to be able to tell their constituents that they've done something, they've accomplished something. It just, as I said, anything that would be an expense to the state, that is something that you could see put on hold. We could see movement this week, but then when it is time to go to the other chamber, it could get held up. So you'll see a buzz of activity, particularly this week. It just, yes, I do think that, however, if you talk to some lobbyists and such, they'd say we've had a harder time than in typical years because in part of the election, but also because of the budget impasse.
Mm-hmm. Sarah?
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I would say it's not just this week. I mean, I think it's going to be the next several weeks. I think it's going to be through the summer. This 2016 election obviously is a critical one. Governor Rauner is really looking to make a statement, and so are the Democrats in terms of a bunch of different House races. So the next several months are going to be all about, you know, are we going to give them
posturing.
A win on this?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we'll let that be the last word for you, Amanda Vinicky. That's Illinois Public Radio State House Bureau Chief Amanda Vinicky. Sarah, if you want to stick around with me, Sarah Burnett is an Associated Press reporter. She's been covering the issue of voting turnout, electoral board. And, you know, obviously we've been talking about the state being almost through the entire fiscal year without a budget. We're 10 months in now. And while we've talked about higher education, social service agencies, and how this impasse is affecting them, we wanted to turn our focus to local election boards. We saw record turnout in the primary for the state, and we're hearing from election boards around Illinois warning that this budget impasse could make things even worse come November, especially because of Illinois' new voter registration laws. Sarah Burnett has been reporting on this, and I want to bring someone else into that conversation, Cook County Clerk David Orr, who runs the largest electoral board in the state. David Orr, thanks for being with us as well.
My pleasure.
Let's start with what we've seen with numbers. You saw record turnout in Cook County. Can you remind us, David Orr, what changes took effect on primary day? And I should add these were changes, of course, you were lobbying for.
Yeah, a lot of great things. I mean, Illinois is really being recognized as a state that really cares about voters, so that's great. One of the things we had and got a lot of attention was Election Day registration, okay? And that's particularly important because we're so mobile in Illinois, particularly up here in some of the northern counties. You have 500,000 people moving out of Cook County every year. Now, since we had over 100,000 people statewide that registered on Election Day, that's an amazing achievement. We also had something relatively new called grace period registration that allowed people who hadn't registered by the traditional deadline to do that between a month out and right up to the day before the election. That was several thousand others. So we proved the need. In other words, these are 100,000 voters that would not have voted before, and our turnout would have not broken records. So we proved the need. That's one crucial thing. We also expanded early voting to that Monday. We expanded grace period voting till that Monday. We allowed 17-year-olds, if they were going to be 18 by the time of the November election, to vote in February, which is great. I mean, to vote in March. There's a lot of excitement in the schools and certainly up here and I assume around the state as kids got a chance to kind of get involved. We have this thing called ERIC. There's a lot of things that are not terribly sexy, but they're really
What's
important.
What's ERIC?
ERIC is basically a group of states that share data, okay? And here's what's so important. I was saying not so sexy but important, is that if you want to really encourage efficiencies in government, which we need to, we now have the ability to do almost everything electronically, okay? And what that means, ERIC has information about all the people that moved out of Illinois, out of Cook County, moved to Indiana, moved to other states, or people that died in other states. So, number one, we can get our lists much cleaner, and that is good. It saves money. It's efficient. And, of course, if you're concerned about fraud, nothing's better than having good, clean lists. So ERIC is really important in sharing that data. Also, part of this law allows us to update people's records electronically so that these tens of thousands of people who move all the time don't have to start over. They move from Maywood, which is in my jurisdiction. It's a suburb of Chicago, of Cook County, and they move to Bloomington. And they think, oh, well, I registered, well, you know, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden they realize they got to do it all over again. Tens of thousands of those people. And now, and that's why we're...
So as the law stands now, if you move from one county to another in Illinois, do you have to re-register or you don't?
No, you have to re-register. Now if you move from one, if you move from election jurisdiction, if you move one block from where I live in Evanston, which is on the border of Chicago, if you move one block, you have to re-register. But we're making a lot of progress there. Some things have already been done. Some things are new. What's important about this new law and the use of technology is we now are on the verge of able to doing all this electronically and cheaper. So when you move, like I say, from Cook County to Bloomington, you can automatically, without paper, without any cost, update that person. That's what we're working on, and that's why some of these budget issues are important to us, because everything can work much better if we're allowed to do the things that this great law allows us to do.
Sarah, let me bring you into the back into the conversation. We were hearing David Orr discussing turnout and also this voter registration. Let me go back to first what he was saying about turnout and particularly younger people. What was turnout like for the state of Illinois, first of all, or overall on primary day?
In terms of primaries, it was a record turnout. I mean, the previous high water mark being 2008 when Barack Obama obviously was involved, and it was significantly higher than that. We saw a lot of lines, in particular in places where there were college towns, university counties that were home to universities.
Right, and you saw that particularly like in McLean County, for example, right?
Yeah. Okay. For example, in McLean County, they saw a huge increase. There were like 1,500. Students or people in the precincts in which the university is, and 99% of those were same-day registrations.
So it would seem that these new laws are encouraging more people to vote. Now let's get to the second part of what David Orr was saying about this electronic database. What are you hearing from around the state from different election boards about the ability of people to get this electronic database up and running given the current budget situation?
Right. Well, I mean, it's basically not happening with the speed at which it's supposed to be happening. And this is where we get to the impact of the budget situation, which is that when this law was passed, the State Board of Elections and the folks whose job it is to maintain the statewide database, and then they push data out to the county clerks, the other election authorities, there's, exchange of information. They asked for about $4 million to get contractors to come in and to implement a lot of this stuff. They didn't get any of that money. They needed, in order to participate fully in this ERIC database that David was talking about, they need to pay a membership. It's a one-time fee to join. They need to pay annual dues. They don't have authorization. They don't have an appropriation to spend that money, and so they haven't done it yet. And so what the folks at this database and at the, another one that kind of does a similar change of address exchange of information have basically said is, well, you can send us your information, but we're not giving you any of these reports back. So they're not able to then push that data out. And so what's happening is people are showing up to vote same-day registration. And I think David and I talked, when I talked to him for this story specifically, that there are a number of people who registered same-day registration who really shouldn't have had to do it that day.
Did that happen, David?
Oh, absolutely.
This had been...
And why did that happen? Because you all are not able to have access to this database yet?
Yeah, but I want to make something clear if we can.
Sure.
We're confusing a little bit, Eric, with these other data issues that are going on. The specific thing on this, okay, because a lot of progress has already happened on this data sharing. On this, we estimate over 90% of all the people who voted same day here in Cook County, and these are similar figures around the state, they all had driver's license or state IDs, okay? So they didn't really need to do this. If we do like we've promised to update all this information with the Secretary of State's office, which is happening as we speak. Despite the lack of money, these things are moving ahead. I mean, remember, there's a lot of contractors in Illinois that haven't been paid for a long time. That doesn't mean they stop work.
But they are, well, but okay.
But they could be threatening. So this is real important. If we can get this done, and this helps the clerks who had problems with lines. We were pretty lucky because we like it and we planned for it. But many of these people could just vote regularly on Election Day, okay, if we get this database working the way it should and you get this automatic registration to the Secretary of State's office. So that's one thing that's already going ahead and has some deadlines, okay? But there is always the fear that someone could say, yes, the lack of money to the vendors could get them to slow down. That, of course, we're pushing hard to continue. But that's separate from Eric.
Okay, this is a complex issue. David, I'm hoping you can stick around for a few minutes. We're going to have to take a break, but sure. I want to make sure we can get into this. Okay, that's Cook County Clerk David Orr with us also, Associated Press reporter Sarah Burnett. We're talking about the issue of voter registration. We're going to continue this after the break. You're listening to The 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. Stay tuned.
Support for the 21st comes from the library at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, helping to generate new knowledge and developing and evaluating new technologies and methodologies that better distribute scholarly knowledge. This is your university library.
Thanks for tuning in to The 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. Right now, we're talking about the record voter turnout that we saw on primary day, 3.3 million people turning out to vote in Illinois, and what the implications of that are come November, given the current fiscal situation the state's in. My guests are Cook County Clerk David Orr, Associated Press reporter Sarah Burnett. Both of them, of course, have been deeply connected to this issue, as Sarah's been talking about the voter turnout. David Orr has been sharing with us. David, before the break, I just want to catch people up, especially if they're just tuning in. Can you explain how it stands now? Say I didn't vote in the primary and I would like to vote in November. What do I need to do as an Illinois voter?
Okay, there's a number of things because of these new laws, some of them brand new, some of them well back. First of all, a really important thing, you can register online. Very important. Okay, and thousands of people did it. Okay, now we're also seeking one reform, one additional law change. And that is traditional registration ends roughly a month before the election. Mm-hmm. And that's for having time to get everything ready. But online, everything changes. And we would like online registration to go another 2 weeks. Mm. If that would happen, then thousands of people would be registered traditionally, and they wouldn't have to do Election Day registration. So that's one thing, online registration. Besides that, there's all the other ways people go to city halls and libraries and all that kind of thing.
There's also a bill under consideration right now, right, David, or to make registering to vote an automatic part of renewing your driver's license?
Right. Now, automatic is very important. I do strongly support it. It's being debated as we speak. And what automatic would do is doing the things I was saying before, take advantage of technology, stop all this wasted time with paper and people have to re-register it over and over again. So if we know, like I say before, that you move from Cook County to Macomb County, okay, we have all this data in government, Secretary of State's office, or State Board of Elections, and we simply electronically update that information. That is what the automatic registration is. We're partly there because some other things we've done, but we're not all the way there. and particularly given if this election stays as exciting as it was in the primary, which drove the turnout. If it does, there will be many, many thousands of people wanting to vote that haven't traditionally been. So we'll try and capture them through online registration and other tools. But then if we can get the automatic registration, it'll make it much smoother, more efficient, and save money.
And when we say that, Sarah, I know that there are also supposed to be notifications that are going out to people. Should voters across the state be expecting to get the notices that they normally do in terms of registration?
Is that for
the, Sarah? Yeah.
Go ahead, Sarah.
Yeah, the local election authorities, you know, will continue to do what you typically will see, which is where I live, I get a postcard in the mail that's just reminding me of where I can go vote or different ways to go vote. What so far is not going to be funded is that as part of this law, there was a supposed to be a notification to, you know, I think it's roughly 2 million people who are eligible to vote but aren't registered at all.
Mm-hmm.
The State Board of Elections is saying, like, look, we don't, even if we could generate this report to get the addresses and the names of these people, we don't have an appropriation to print the postcards, pay the postage, send them out. So as of now, unless there's some movement on the budget or specific appropriation for that, those notifications most likely are not going out.
But let me say, remember,
how are you handling it in Cook County, David Orr?
Well, first I want to make that real clear. That's breaking the law, okay? The law says we shall do it. Okay, we joined Eric.
That's breaking state law.
State law. We joined Eric, which is a wonderful thing we discussed before. Part of Eric, besides cleaning all these lists and improving data, is the 2 million people that we notify those people by postcard. Okay, we will be hurting ourselves, okay, as an efficient government if, in fact, we don't do this. And by the way, it's being discussed. I mean, it may, in fact, become another legislature soon, a way to provide some money for some of these things, particularly Eric. Eric is the one that does take some money to do this mailing, okay? But it's very important because if you mail to two million people and they get this postcard and they are more excited than before and they want to register, the last thing we want them doing is all flooding my colleagues around the state on election day when, in fact, they could register earlier in these more efficient ways, okay? So we'd be, what's the phrase, pound foolish and penny wise
or
whatever,
pound
to
foolish.
Ignore
well,
this.
And but, what, as but, we say all of this, David, then maybe what you can explain to us, what are you, what as someone who runs Cook County election, someone who's kind of facilitating all of this, how is the lack of a budget funding specifically affecting you at Cook County? What are you not able to do right now?
Well, again, I'm able to do pretty much everything I normally would. Okay, remember, I'm a bigger jurisdiction. We planned for all this. We support it. We made sure where we have big universities here, we made sure we didn't have long lines. So maybe I'm more fortunate than some. But what will the effect of things like this, if Eric is not paid for, okay, it's going to make it harder. It's going to cost money to the state of Illinois in ways that it shouldn't, and it'll hurt some of the other clerks, okay, when these thousands of people come in and they have to vote on election day as opposed to getting registered before that. So there's other things that would be denied if we don't get the budget, but I do believe it is being discussed and discussed because remember, when you talk about Eric, Eric is many states, Republicans and Democrats. Okay, because everybody understands how important it is to use modern technology and use data, keep it up to date, and get rid of some of the paper and have your list more important.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping that if there is a fiscal bill come forward sometime, that people will sign on because this is a commitment I already made. This is the law of the land.
Okay. That's Cook County Clerk David Orr. Before I let you go, David, I know you have to go. Final advice for voters throughout the state, if they haven't done anything before November, what should they do now?
Just kind of pay attention to the news, but there's lots of ways to register easily. The most important and the easiest is to register online, but otherwise there's plenty of time.
And then do you have to register online in your county then, correct?
It's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you just go online. You can go to the State Board of Elections online. You could even come on mine, cookcountyclerk.com, and it would automatically take you right to the state where you could register online.
Okay, perfect.
So we want to make it easy for people, but above all, we'll be working on all these things to try and improve the efficiencies before November.
That's good, County Clerk David Orr. Sarah Burnett, thanks so much for being with us, David.
You bet.
Sarah,
you.
You know, David was saying that he has the funding in Cook County. What are other boards, maybe he's saying other boards throughout the state may not be as fortunate. What are you hearing throughout the state in terms of being prepared and ready for November, given the current fiscal situation?
Right. Well, I will say, first of all, you know, David, as you mentioned, is an advocate for was an advocate for this bill.
Mm-hmm.
And not every election authority agreed that this should be done. And so I think there are genuine concerns out there, first of all, that this was a bill that was passed without any money for the local election authorities. And so some of the counties just, you know, flat out say we didn't support this $250,000 more that we had to. This was an unfunded mandate.
But what about David's point that it's the law and they have to follow it?
It is the law. It
right.
is the law. And they absolutely are doing what they need to do. I think that the primary for a lot of them was a good test. They were able to see, you know, these precincts are busier than we've seen them be in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we need to redirect some resources here. I know that several of them are working actively to try to get more election judges because, you know, that's one of those positions where they're always trying to get people to staff these polling sites. They need to get them in and they need to train them because now, in particular, if you've got a laptop that's new that the county just bought for to fulfill this new law, and you've got election judges who, you know, haven't been exposed to this in the past, they have to go through training and all that. And so they're working on that. They're buying new equipment. They're buying laptops. They're trying to figure out how to pay for all of it. And they're also just asking people to do, like what David said, register in advance or at least, you know, be patient when you get there. One of the clerks said to me, people were particularly grumpy.
And
he's worried that they're going to be grumpier in November. So,
okay.
You know.
Well, that's Associated Press reporter Sarah Burnett. Thank you so much for joining us and shedding some light on this issue. It sounds like if people want to vote in November, we're giving them plenty of time, right?
Yes,
Sarah,
absolutely.
I want to bring back someone into this conversation, Illinois Public Radio State House Bureau Chief Amanda Vinicky. Amanda, as you're listening to this discussion about Cook County Clerk David Orr, obviously, as Sarah Burnett was saying, he was someone who was a proponent of this new legislation with voters. I wonder if, as we're talking about all of these new laws that are being put into effect and there's not the funding for it, as Sarah said, you know, there's concern throughout the state that this law was passed and there wasn't funding for it. It's almost a kind of a similar thing we heard at the beginning of the hour talking about the Illinois Dream Act being passed and not necessarily having a funding structure attached to it. I wonder, Amanda, has there been any discussion this week? Have you heard anything about anyone addressing this issue in the Illinois House, voter registration and concern about this?
I mean, there's, of course, concern given Sarah's reporting. I'm sure that lawmakers themselves were distressed if they got a call from a constituent that said, hey, wait a second, I wanted to vote. I had to wait in line.
Your colleague Brian Mackey had a story saying it's not a conspiracy. They didn't run out of ballots. In fact, that's a great story. We should tweet that. If you follow the 21st show on Twitter, we'll tweet a link out to Brian Mackey's story he did last week about people saying, did they run out of ballots on purpose? And they actually did not, right?
Well, I mean, I did not do that reporting. And there's always that I know I got texts from people that were frantic. And, you know, it depends on what party you are. Hey, they're out of Democratic ballots.
Right.
And it's a frustrating situation when you're in line, when you think that you're doing your civic duty and you've got to stand there for hours.
Mm-hmm.
That said, of course, I mean, as you know, there's been a whole lot of frustration in the state, and it just doesn't end with people who want to vote. There's frustration for college students that are waiting on those MAP grants or maybe university professors or other staff that have gotten layoff notices for
social service agencies. That's exactly what I wanted to ask you about, Amanda. As we think of the priorities of all of the things we've discussed this hour, how much likely do you see, we've heard so much conversation and so much focus and worry about the state universities, about Chicago State University in particular. How much do you think that will be on the docket this week in the Illinois House?
Well, you know, I would suspect that there will be lawmakers that will make noise about that, perhaps on the floor, mm-hmm. but there aren't any mechanisms that we have seen that would change that beyond what has already gotten attention in the General Assembly. Mm-hmm. So, again, it's just deadline week. The focus is really on all of these other pieces of legislation because they have to move now. Of course, university administrators and students would say, we need to move now on this. Mm-hmm. In fact, we need to have moved 10 months ago.
About movement, Amanda, I think the first of all, the fact that the House was out for the Illinois House was out for a month. I don't know how unusual people would find that situation of the House being gone for a month while we're in this current budget climate. But are there any, the big question is, are there any meetings set this week between House Speaker Madigan, between Republican Governor Bruce Rauner? Is there any movement on that front?
Not that we know of, and neither man is particularly forward with sharing his schedule with reporters and the public. So maybe there is some sort of clandestine or last-minute meetup, but as of now, we have not heard of any such thing. Both the governor and speaker will presumably be in Springfield for the majority of the week after that month-long spring break for the House. They're in from today through Friday. And really for there are a couple of days in I think 1 week here and there where lawmakers won't be back. But from now through the end of May, you'll see a lot of activity at the very least.
Well, activity, Amanda, how would you describe the mood then? And because this is an unprecedented situation that we're in. As you said earlier in the hour, this is something that is a constant point of conversation. Would you describe the mood of lawmakers as a climate where you think something will happen, or is it something where everyone's just kind of talking about it?
It's really hard to say when something will change. Could it be an offshoot of a recent Illinois Supreme Court ruling that affects employee pay? Might that move something? May it be if Chicago State really does have to close that there will be a furor or an uproar over that? We don't know what it will be because this is, of course, is just so unprecedented. You couldn't imagine having gone to this point. Will Illinois go a full year without a budget? There is very much that possibility, particularly when you do have so much state spending going forward, regardless of the impasse. So, you know, I think that the mood right now is frustration really is the number one, really a lot of anger and, for some people, fear. And you're going to have a lot of situations like that, what we heard, be it for student scholarships or mm-hmm. be it for lots voter registration, where mm-hmm. there just isn't money to back up what plans lawmakers want to do.
That's IPR State House Bureau Chief Amanda Vinicky. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to all of you who tuned in to The 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. Thanks for listening.